Today on episode number 544 of the School of Podcasting, if you're a person that does interviews, you're going to want to listen to this episode. We're going to cover two topics in one, and I've kind of covered these over the years in different episodes. This one, I want everything that I've previously talked about, plus some new information that I'm bringing in about how to be a good podcast host and how to be a good podcast guest. We also have a heartwarming because of my podcast story, and we're going to go one more letter deep into our podcast glossary. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. Hope you're having a good holiday season. If you're new to the show, I bring my 20 plus years of helping people understand technology, and I help you massage your message. I help you tackle the technology, face your fears, and flatten that learning curve and get you on the road to launching a successful podcast. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code LISTENER, better known as LISTENER, and that will work on a single course, or you can actually sign up for a big giant package. And I look forward to working with you. And as I record this, I'm just warm and fuzzy. It is December 11th. It is snowing outside. The Cleveland Browns are losing on TV. My fake tree is on, and I have candles making it smell like a forest. It's just all that whole holiday. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And I know what you're thinking, Dave. You might be having fun, but I'm running around trying to get presents and things like that. I need some elves of my own. Well, guess what? You have a couple elves, and they're dying to work with you. They are Danny and Aaron Osment over at Emerald City Productions. Check this out. These guys have been around since 2009. They're in Tennessee. And if you're thinking of starting a podcast and you would like help making your current show sound better, or you're just interested in voice coaching to improve your videos and webinars, Emerald City Productions will make you sound awesome. Now, you're like, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to add your intro and outro if you want them to do that. Any kind of advertisements, they'll remove your ums, your nose, any kind of mistakes. They'll remove noise. They're going to do all sorts of cool things like balancing the volumes and dynamic processing and equalization and mastering. Doesn't that sound cool? And encoding. You wanted to go ahead and go all the way through, make your MP3 file, add the art, add the ID3 tags. Trust me, these are the best elves on the planet. They're going to make your ears go, when you hear your show. Now, here's the cool thing. Your first four episodes are only $15 each. Think about the time you're going to save. Think about the hours you're going to spend into getting all those ums and your nose out. Just hand it off to Danny. Let him handle it. First four episodes, $15 each. Then after that, the price only goes up to $40, which is still a steal. And you're like, Dave, enough. How do I get this awesome deal? Go to emeraldcitypro.com/SOP. That is emeraldcitypro.com/SOP. But wait, there's more. That's right. While you're over there at emeraldcitypro.com/SOP, check out their blog. It's full of useful information, both articles and videos, about how to send better from recording through production and publishing. I'm telling you, these guys know what they're talking about. Just go to emeraldcitypro.com/SOP. I always love to start off the show with what I call because of my podcast stories. And it's simply this. If you can answer the question, because of my podcast, blank. That's it. Doesn't matter what it is. Something that you wouldn't have been able to do, something that happened to you that wouldn't have happened, but it did because you have a podcast. And check this out. Cale Nelson does the Ham Radio 360 show. You can find him at hamradio360.com. And you know what's really cool? Cale Nelson is going to be at PodFest. I'm going to get to hang with Cale Nelson, the Cale Nelson of hamradio360.com. He even has swag. I saw it on his Facebook group. And if you're like, what is a PodFest? PodFest.us. This is a really cool, I'm just so looking forward to it. I know the closing speaker, it's me. And it's all about community, building your audience, and growing with knowledge and taking knowledge that you can really take back home and put into use. Check it out, podfest.us. And I'm going to be hanging out with Cale Nelson there. But check out Cale's story. He says, last week, a listener contacted me via email He's one of my Patreon supporters. He said he noticed on my Patreon page that there was a goal for buying a new mixer. Now, if you're new to Patreon, it's this way. It's kind of a cool crowdfunding tool, but it's ongoing crowdfunding. So Caleb probably said, hey, if I get X amount of money a month or if I reach this goal, I'll buy a new mixer. So this patron of Caleb says he went on to inquire about which mixer I was interested in. And so Caleb said, well, I'm kind of checking out this 12-channel Behringer mixer. He's been saving up for it. And basically, Caleb said, I like this mixer because it was the lowest cost mixer with faders. And he says, I'm kind of an FM radio throwback, and he prefers faders to knobs. I'm with you on that. And he said, and in his subsequent email, he stated he wanted to purchase a mixer for me. So let's back that one up a second. He just said, a guy who's already supporting Caleb said, hey, I'd like to buy a mixer for you. And he'd be more than happy to buy the Behringer if that's really what Caleb wanted. Otherwise, he preferred the Yamaha MG12. Now, I looked at this mixer. It's about $200 more, I think. It's pretty decked out. And Caleb says, after picking myself up off the floor and maybe, just maybe, drawing one or both eyes, he said, you know, hey, if you want to buy me the Yamaha, it looks like a fine choice. And he says, today the board arrived. I'm still flabbergasted and completely humbled. He says, I have the best listeners on the planet. So that is an awesome deal. And that's not the only one of those I've heard of. I know my buddy Ken Blanchard from blackmanwithagun.com has had people buy him gear. So it's interesting the bond you build between your listeners and you. It's a really cool relationship. So check out Kale at hamradio360.com. And Kale's story came via Facebook, and this also came via Facebook. And this is my buddy Glenn the Geek from Horse Radio Network. Next week, I'm going to be hanging out with Glenn in Florida. Looking forward to that. Going to watch him do a show actually on Friday. I'm going down to the Tampa Bay Business Association, and I'm going to be doing kind of a podcasting 101 thing down there. Really looking forward to that, mainly because it's 22 degrees here in Ohio, and it's probably 70 in Florida. And it's just going to be fun. And then the day after, I'm taking off, and I'm going to go hang out with Glenn. Why not? I'm in Florida, and I've always enjoyed his Friday show. And Glenn put this post out. And for the record, Glenn is a really kind of happy-go-lucky kind of guy, hard-working guy, but loves his job, loves to have fun too. Check him out, horseradionetwork.com. He says, maybe it's Friday and I'm just tired after so many hours of programming this week. Glenn did this holiday-a-thon thing where he did a 12-hour podcast. And if you saw, he had like a triple mix-minus going on with Skype and multiple computers and a phone line coming in. It was insane, the technology that he had going. But he says, but if you send me an interview request that includes the following, I'm not going to even respond to you. All right, so this is how not to approach people for an interview. I'm going to mention this name a lot today. Jessica Rhodes does the Roads to Success podcast. She also does Interview Connections. .com, and that is a way that you can get booked on other podcasts. And she is the queen of rocking both sides of the mic. And I'm kind of gonna dip my toe into her world today. And so this is advice that Jess has great advice on this as well. And but Glenn says, somebody emails Glenn and says, here's what you have to do to be on my show, to be my guest. Be our guest. All you have to do is you must have an hour for the interview. You must have headphones. You must, are you noticing a little accent here? Have a quiet space. And we request all guests, so it's not a must, but we request all guests to share our podcast on social media. To which Glenn says, I must? You're asking me for an interview and you say I must. Plus, in your initial email request, you say I should share it to my social media. He says, look, I'm not even going to respond to you. I will share it to my social media and this is so Glenn, if I think it's valuable to my friends, family, and audience. Show some respect when you're asking for reviews. Wow. And he says, okay, calm. I'm take a break for the weekend. He's okay. But, and realize this. So I'll give you an example. I interviewed Michael O'Neill a couple weeks ago. He's kind of a big shot, smarty pants guy. Does a solopreneur hour. Really nice guy. And I kind of went over, like, he said things like, "Why I didn't know Pat Flynn and I had lunch with him." And I'm like, whoa, time out there, cowboy. How does that happen? And so we kind of got into Michael's backstory. Now, here's the thing. I'm pretty sure Michael's got over 500 episodes. And I would, you know, guess that Michael's audience probably knows his backstory by now. I'm pretty sure. So I don't know that he shared that episode, and I would not be surprised if he didn't. And so here's the thing, and I thought most people are aware of this, but if you're not, there's a lot of articles when you Google things about podcasting that come up, and many of them, there's a very popular tutorial right now from 2012. Look at the calendar, kids. That's 4 years ago. And in podcasting years, that's like 21 days or 21 years. I mean, that's a long time ago. And it has a lot of bad advice in it, mainly about using file for download only. We're not going to go there. But just saying, there's some bad advice out there. And one of the tactics that looks good on paper is if I get a big guest on my show, they'll tell their audience, and their whole audience will come over and listen to my show, and maybe some of them will stick around. Makes sense. There's a great book. I love Jared Easley. He's such a great guy. This is one of the founding guys of Podcast Movement, and he's such a nice guy. If you ever get a chance to meet Jared Easley, do it, because he's just awesome. Both Jared, Dan, Gary, everybody over there at Podcast Movement is awesome. And I don't interact with him as much as I used to, but when I do, I'm always glad I did. And he has a book called Stop Chasing Influencers, The True Path to Building Your Business and Living Your Dream. It has a ton, as in lots, huge, giant amounts of advice. And the thing I love about it came from the real world. So here's a little excerpt I'm going to read from. It says, a majority of influencers and A-listers on his, in this case, Jared's guest list, did not have time or interest in being on his new show, which had zero listeners. The guests who were gracious enough to give him the time for an interview were not inclined to share it with their audiences. Finally, the guests who did give them their time and who also shared the show with their networks on social media did not translate into large Starve the Doubts audience that listened to the guest interviews and subscribed or stuck around as well. So number one, not all the A-listers will come on your show. B, the ones that do probably won't share it. And C, the ones that do share it didn't really lead to big numbers. In other words, it doesn't work the way we want it to work. It does work in that it gives you really good content. And so we were kind of talking a little bit about this on the Ask the Podcast Coach show. And this is a show I do every Saturday morning, except if you're listening to this on the week of December 12th, we're not doing a show on the 17th because, well, hey, I'm going to be in Florida. But normally we're always at askthepodcastcoach.com/live every Saturday, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. We will be doing a show on Christmas Eve because it's Christmas Eve morning. And my co-host is Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. And he spit this out and I was like, oh, dude, that is such a clip for this week's show.
I don't care if my guests do anything for me except bring dynamite content to my listeners, right? So,
my friend, you are now a sound clip in this week's School of Podcasting.
Yeah, it's I'm getting a big fish to have them advertise for me. Maybe it'll work out. But oftentimes they're really good interviews and we need to focus on them and the content they're bringing to the program. My current audience is my most important audience. That's who I should be focusing on. And if it's great, word of mouth will take care of itself.
And so it reminds me a little bit, if we go back to my days, I'm a musician. I have been a musician. I'm not playing in a band now. But pretty much my first gig I think, was when I was 14. I played my first bar when I was 15, which was really weird because I didn't have a driver's license yet, and they had a hard time getting me into the bar. Even when I was 16 and had a driver's license, I wasn't old enough to drink. It was just always a hassle. But I've been playing music many, many moons, and a lot of bands have the attitude of, man, the bar should be doing things to bring in a crowd. And I'm like, no, the bar has already done what they've done. They're paying the electric bill. They have a waiter staff and waitresses to wait on your customers. They've got a stage. They've got lighting, hopefully. They've got, hopefully, bathrooms at work and food. So to keep people there, your job is to be entertaining enough to get people out of the couch, out of their chairs, drive here, and then consume mass quantities of whatever the heck they're selling. They're giving you the venue. It's your job to promote it. So when I was in a band, I would make these big 3-foot by 5-foot posters at the poster store that came out of my pocket. I didn't charge the bar for that. I made directions on how to get to the venue. I went to the website. Here's something that was really cool. Most of the bars didn't have websites. And so I would say, well, if you'd like, I can make a website for you. Thus, making it super easy to find the bar and also creating a relationship, because typically you don't want to make the web guy mad because he'll just do nasty things to your website. And so it was the band's job of promoting, not the bar. So it's not the guest job of promoting. It's not iTunes' job to promote you. It's your job to promote you. It's your job to make really good, engaging content and then figure out where your audience is, make friends with them, and tell them about it. So what I have here is a list of tips that I've kind of picked up myself after doing, I've been interviewed a fair amount and I've done a few interviews myself. And so here are some tips for the host. First of all, if you're going to be doing an interview show, and let's just start right there, you don't have to do an interview show. I know a lot of people are like, what? Are you crazy? And if you think it's easy because your guest is going to bring all the value, kinda, yeah, but now you're involved in this lovely thing called scheduling conflicts. Oh, yes. And in the fact that somebody's in Brazil and you're in Ohio, or somebody's in whatever, and somebody's getting up when they don't want to get up, or going to bed when they don't want to go to bed. It's a lot of fun. So if you're going to be doing a lot of interviews, you're just going to lose your mind without a scheduling tool. And so I know a lot of people like schedule once. I like acuity scheduling. And there are links to everything out today, schoolofpodcasting.com/544. And now if you're looking for, now it's not free. I think I pay $20 a month, but I do a weird thing. I use it for my consulting. And it's so when people buy, you know, if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/schedule, you can see it in action there. And so it actually charges for the invoice, does all sorts of stuff like that. Now, if you're looking for a free tool, I've heard good things about Calendly. So calendly.com, not quite as robust as Acuity Scheduling, but it is going to make your life a whole lot easier. And then so keep that in mind. And these tips are in no particular order. But here's one. You have to let the guests know why they are there. Like, why are you coming on the show? Who they are talking to. So in my case, I might say, well, you're coming on the show because you're making a living with your podcast, or you've done this thing, or you've got a new tool, or whatever it is. Here's why you are here. So I told Michael O'Neill, I'll just keep using him as an example because he's the last guy I interviewed. I'm like, dude, I like you because you came on, you started a podcast without a plan. You just said, I'm going to do it and figure it out later. And I feel we are a little too much into the planning. Now, I'm not saying just wing a podcast, but I really liked his attitude. And then he had just a ton of other things that just came out through the interview. So I let him know, that's why you're here. I let him know who he's talking to. So he's talking to podcasters. So if you want to get a little geeky, you can. I let him know what they're going to be talking about. Now, I didn't give him the questions, but I kind of said, here's what we're going to talk about. I want to know the story behind the Pat Flynn thing. I want to know about this. I want to know about that. So that's where we're going. And then I told him how long the interview will be. And the cool thing with Michael is I said, I told him 30 minutes. And he says, I'm used to an hour. And I'm like, I'll take an hour if you're going to give it. And he's like, okay. But that's a key. It's kind of being professional, is stick to the time you said it was going to be. Or when it gets down to that, say, hey, we're down to about 10 minutes. Are we still okay? Yeah, good. Okay. And then get them out. because you want people to leave your show going, man, that was a fun time. I just got interviewed on Michael's show, the Solopreneur Hour. You can find it at solohour.com. And he was awesome. Made it fun to be on the show. Got in, got out. It was like a machine. So the other thing you can do as a host is, and I got this from Jessica Rhodes again, Rhodes to Success. And Rhodes is R-H-O-D-E-S. And this is, go to their website and get the bio, get their headshot, anything that you don't have to ask for, anything, you know, that you're going to need. So if you need a bio, if you need a headshot, things like that. And then here's the other thing, folks, if you're the host, if you don't want people using that picture of you with the black sweater from, like, I don't know, 1992, maybe it's time to update your bio. Just a thought. And I know mine, I have two pictures right now that I use. One, I have no beard in it, and I'm about 30 pounds heavier. And then my other one, I have a beard. I'm looking okay, but I'm also looking like I'm not very happy. So it's one of those where it's like, that's one of the things for 2017, is I want to get a new headshot. But when I do, I need to have it on my bio page so it's easy for people that are following these steps to go and get it. Then if there's something that you don't need, ask for what's missing. Now, the other thing you can do, and this, some of this stuff is just opinion, do some research if you want, again, optional. So you can listen to other interviews, check out their Facebook page, check out their Twitter, because you might learn something about them on Facebook and Twitter that might lead to a better interview that they don't talk about in their podcast. And then come up with some questions. Now, the list of questions, for me, again, I use it as a game plan, but it's not an interrogation. So when they get done with question number two, I don't have to go right to question number three. And we'll talk about that a little more as we go along. I cannot stress this one enough. When it's the day of the interview, especially if you're doing this without a scheduling tool, email the guest. Email the guest the day of to remind them about your appointment. When I do not do this, it always, always, always blows up in my face. So keep that in mind. Make sure that your guests know to use the best microphone they have available and to have headphones on. Now, don't make it a must. You have to have. That's a little forceful. But just say, hey, my audience likes good this. Can you do this? Do the best you can. Thanks. Find out what website you want to promote. You know, where are we going to send people? Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. And here's one. I've had this situation twice now. And next time, I'm not the most assertive person in the world. And so my background is in customer service. So I'm all about making the person fine. But if they don't sound good, meaning their sound is distracting from the content, you have to stop and ask them to get a different microphone or get a different position. And I usually run into this with headsets, but this is like, when I say this, I mean this in bold and underlined letters. Trust me, you will not want to release this audio to your audience. So the question I ask is, who do you want to upset? Your legions of followers or one guest? And always explain it how they're going to benefit. I want you to sound really good, and right now you have a ton of popping P's. Right now your S's make me blink every time you say something with an S. Whatever it is, but spend some time cleaning up. If you don't do this, you're going to spend some time cleaning up the bad audio. And sometimes the bad audio is, as the old saying goes, garbage in, garbage out. So if you have somebody that has the best microphone they have and it's just, trust me, you will thank me later. In some cases, there are times when this is brutal to go, that's not going to work. I don't know personally, as I say, I don't know that I would have the courage to say, nope, sorry, got to get a different microphone. That's not going to work. Now, when the guest arrives, let them know that it's not live, unless it is, which is weird, but okay. And let them know that if they mess up, they can do it over. Let them know that if you pause, you'll be looking... You're basically looking for the next question, and you're not looking for them to expand on their answer. So let them know that if there's just this weird awkward pause, it's cool. You're just working on the next question. My buddy, Eric K. Johnson, better known as the podcast talent coach at podcasttalentcoach.com. He says, you know, have your questions ready, but really think about that first question to get the interview going in the right direction. And I was like, you know, that's a good point. And make sure you know how to say their name. I've run into that sometimes. And a cheat, and I learned this from Michael O'Neill, he has a class called The Art of the Interview. Find it at theartoftheinterview.co. And he says sometimes if you go to their YouTube channel, most people introduce themselves. They'll say, hi, I'm Dave Jackson. Well, now you can learn how to say their name because they just did it for you. And I was like, ooh, that's a cool tip. Rather than, hi, you know, Gina, how do you say your last name again? It's Jones, Dave. Okay, thank you. He also has a great tip, and I've shared this before. He did this at Podcast Mid-Atlantic. If you have a guest that loves to tell the same story over and over and over, and you're like, oh, good God, I hope we don't have to hear about the brown M&M story again, you can basically use that story in their intro. And you could say, hey, this guest once trashed a hotel room because he found brown M&Ms in the dressing room. If you say that, then in theory, unless they're really a robot, they're not going to repeat it. So you can take away those stories by using them in your intro. The other thing that I've only had to do this once. If I'm going to be at the 35-minute mark of an hour-long interview, how about you have me call in at like the 30-minute mark as opposed to having me sit through the first half hour and then you get to me? I've only had to do that once, but I remember thinking, wow, this is weird. You know, and in this case, it was a live call because I've had the other people do that. I've had where I will go on, you know, it's a blog talk radio thing or whatever, and people will have me call in 5 minutes. You sit on hold for 5 minutes. That's much better than making me sit 30 minutes through an interview. Another tip from Michael O'Neill. Now, he was on my show a couple weeks ago. And again, I'll have links to this out in the show notes, schoolofpodcasting.com/544. And he said, one of the things you can do is promote your guest stuff first. So if it's an author, talk about the book. If it's somebody's website or blog, whatever they're here to pimp, pimp it right there. Joining me today is, you know, Daniel J. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast. He's here to talk about his My Podcast Reviews. You can find it at schoolpodcasting.com/MPR. Well, now Daniel doesn't have to worry about pimping his stuff because I already did it for him. It's right there at the beginning. And what Michael pointed out is not everybody listens to the very, 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 very end of the show. And your guest is going to be happier that you promoted the stuff up front. And so it's not a bad idea to maybe promote it in the middle. He has a great tip where if you promote it at the beginning and then in the middle, if you go into a little mini pimp and, you know, it's Daniel J. Lewis from My Podcast Reviews, schoolofpodcasting.com/MPR. And now that gives you a chance to pivot to another story. So let's say your guest is going left and you want to go right. So the minute they take a breath, they're going, great. Again, and it sounds weird to do a reset in a podcast, but there are people that start and stop and start and stop. And it is a way that's kind of radio-ish, kind of weird, but it is a way to take back control of your interview. And so that's something I was like, that's a really good advice. Because we said we want people to promote our show that they were on. Well, if you make a show that they want to promote, they're more than likely to do that. After the interview, for me, this is something I do typically when I can remember. Before I hit stop, so I'll be like, and that's it. This will be out Monday. And they're like, okay, thanks, Dave. That was awesome. And then I will say, is there anything in the interview we did today that you might want to take out? And they're like, yeah, that part where I threw so-and-so under the bus, can you think we could take that out? Like, yeah, we can do that. Not a problem. Because again, I'm not here to get you. I'm not here to go, oh, ho. So, and I have that there, and that's kind of my audio approval. That's not the right word, but you know what I mean. That little piece of release, like a release form. And I always have that. I never, you know, I will edit the interview, but I always have that original version. So if somebody says, hey, you just can say, look, this is you saying this. And when the interview goes live, make it insanely easy to share your stuff. You know, give them links to the MP3 file on your media host if you're using one. Give them a link to your website where people can click and play. Give them a graphic if you want to. And realize they may not share it at all. And you know what? That's okay. They did their job. They provided great content. Another cool tool is Click to Tweet. and that is at clicktotweet.com. And basically, you can go over and make the tweet that you want them to send, and all they have to do, and it'll give you like a link. So what happens is you send them this link, they click on it, it makes them log into Twitter, and boom, there's their tweet. All they have to do now is click on send. Makes it pretty easy. So that's a, if you're trying to get people, you know, and you might even say, click this tweet, it will log into Twitter and hit send. Because they don't, you know, hey, could you do me a favor, send a tweet? And they're like, I don't know. How long ago was this interview? And I remember it. So those are some things you can do as a host. Now, what if you're the guest? And some of these are just a flip-flop of what I just said. Number one, don't give one-word answers. That's annoying. And you know that's annoying. And even if you've had a really bad day. And this is my one thing. When you are a podcast guest or a host, you have an opportunity. You have a stage to perform on. And as much as we, you know, even if it's strictly educational, it's still somewhat entertainment. So don't be a weenie, I guess is a nice way of saying that. You might want to, in the same way that as a host, you want to maybe listen to a few if they've been interviewed in other places. Hey, if you're the interviewee, you might want to go listen to a little bit of their show and see what it's about, kind of get a vibe for the show, kind of get a better understanding of maybe who the audience is. Not a bad idea. Again, they're going to ask you to get the best microphone available. And I suggest the Audio-Technica ATR2100 and then just wear headphones. You can use earbuds. But what you don't want to do is listen to the guy interviewing you or the woman through speakers, because that'll come out of the speakers and go into your microphone, creates this awesome echo thing, and then the host sounds drunk. They're like, so tell me about the time when the things... So keep that in mind. And this sounds weird. Email the host the day of the show in the same way that guests that can forget that they have a interview, hosts can forget that as well. And then this sounds silly, show up on time. And then what you can do is have a one sheet that explains you, maybe has a bio, your websites, social media, and send that to them after you've been interviewed. Or if they say, hey, I'd like to have an interview from you, and you schedule it for next week, send them this stuff. Make it easy to research you, because the more they know about you, the better content they can pull out of you. And attach the headshot you want so you don't see the interview come out and you're like, oh my God, they're using the one from 92. Right? You want the best headshot you have. Now, if you're promoting something, see if you can give people access to your product before the interview. So if you're an author, give them an access to the book. Whatever it is you want to do. But it just lets them, it's a perk. You've given them something nice. Now, hopefully they will give you something nice by promoting the crap out of your interview. But if you want them to talk about it and be excited about your product, one way to do that is, I don't know, give them the product. Something else you can do, try to customize your answers to their audience. So if they've done a poor job of saying, here's who my audience is, ask them. So if I'm doing a show and it's about authors, well, I'm going to create answers that would explain how an author can use podcasting. So try to figure out who the audience is if they haven't told you, and then customize the answers for your audience. It's just going to resonate better with them. And then here's the other one. Oh my God, does this drive me nuts? So when I ask you, so welcome to the show, and you go, thanks, Dave. I'm so happy to be here, Dave. And I go, so what's your favorite equipment? Well, Dave, you know, when I went to buy my microphone, Dave, I thought, Dave, that I should get the ATR. And I'm like, oh, enough with using the host name to make me feel warm and fuzzy. Because can I tell you something? I can smell that like miles away, Dave. I really can, Dave. So, Then the other one is, I'm just thinking about that. I'm frustrated. That's a good question. So I go, so what you got? What got you into podcasting? You know, that's a good question. No, it's not a good question. It's just not. That's something I'm asking is, you know, a good question is when it's a follow-up question to a follow-up question, and we're really getting into the nitty-gritty stuff. And usually why people say that is because you're trying to think of an answer. I get that. I understand that, but that's another one that just drives me crazy. So those two pet peeves, Dave, Okay, Dave, that's my pet peeve, Dave. Thanks, Dave. It's a really good question, Dave. No, it's not. Remember, as a guest, I know you want to promote your stuff, but nobody tunes into an infomercial on purpose. Bring this little thing we call value. And then the word of mouth will go, oh my gosh, did you hear what this guy said on the podcast? Now I want to buy his book. And again, if the episode would bring value to your audience, then please promote it on Twitter and on any other venues you feel comfortable. Those would be some tips. As I recorded this, we're going to call an audible. I just thought of one more thing for the host. And it works kind of a host-guest thing. I feel awkward when somebody says at the end of it, hey, Dave, thanks. That was a great interview, Dave. It was a good question. I have one more question for you. It's a good question. And that is, can you recommend any other people that would be a good thing for my show? They do it right there. Because if you just did an interview where I said, yeah, and that was the time when I almost got shot and my mom died shortly thereafter. And you go, great. Can you tell us about an aha moment? I'm like, ugh, because you're just going, and I'm not having a good time. It's not a good interview. I don't really want to recommend my friends to come on your show if I'm not having a good time. So a better way to do that, in my opinion, and I'm open for all opinions here, is to go, hey, you know what? I'm really, thank you so much. You dropped a lot of value on this show. And, birds of a feather flock together. And if you think about it tomorrow or today or later, I don't want to ask you about this now, but if you know of anybody that would be a good fit for this show, I would love if you feel inclined to introduce me to them, do like an email interview, an email introduction, I would be eternally grateful. And in theory, if you've delivered a good experience for the person, you help promote their shelf without making it a giant commercial, you were on time, you didn't mess up their name, et cetera, they might be more inclined to go, oh, you know, and they'll say, you know what, let me put together a list and I'll get back to you. And then here's the weird thing. I know why people ask, can you give me some now? Is because there's a really good chance people are going to forget. But this is what you could say when you send them the, hey, your episode is live, because it might be a week or so, it might be days later. Hey, your episode is live. You can click here to tweet it. Here's a link to the MP3 file. Here's a link to the episode. Here's a link. And just a reminder, if you did come up with any names about potential guests for me, I'd still love to hear them. Just put it back out there. If you don't get it, I would let it go. That's just me. I would let it go. I wouldn't hound them for it. Again, it's your job to find guests. It'd be great if they handed you some, but, you know, there may be time. And that doesn't mean, by the way, keep this in mind, if they don't promote your show, if they don't give you any follow-up people, that doesn't mean your show was awful. Keep that in mind. Sometimes these people are just busy. But those are my tips. And I want to put these together. I've talked about this topic separately in the past, but based on some things I've learned from Jessica and Michael O'Neill, and then just my own stuff, as well as people I work with, Eric K. Johnson, the podcast talent coach. I also do a show with him called the Podcast Review Show. And so I wanted to kind of combine all of my information with the information I've picked up from people like Eric K. Johnson. You can find him at podcasttalentcoach.com. Michael O'Neill has, again, that great course, artoftheinterview.co. You can also find him at solohour.com. Jessica Rhodes, you can find her company at interviewconnections.com. And you can also find her at jessicarhodes.biz.
This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com. Changing the world, one download at a time.
I've been assembling a podcast glossary, and the idea here is we spew a lot of jargon from time to time, and we think everybody knows what we're talking about, and in many cases, they don't. And so today, we're at the H's. The H's. And the first one is HT access file, and it's hard to explain this one in a like one-sentence thing. It's a file on your website that dictates how your website functions and what files are accessible. And for the most part, if you're not a web designer, you probably shouldn't be messing with this file. But if somebody says, oh, just a, if you just go in and put it in your HTAccess file, it's a file that basically, it's kind of like a security guard and a traffic cop all in one. It kind of dictates where people can go and how they can get there and things like that. Another H that I decided to add is Hindenburg Journalist. This is actually one of my favorite tools. I'm actually thinking about in 2017 canceling my subscription to Adobe Audition. Not that I'm a cheapskate. I just, when I use Hindenburg Journal, it's just so stinking easy. And I like a lot of the tools in it. I like the $300 version as opposed to the $99 version because I love their noise canceling tool. But if you think about it, I currently pay $20 a month for Adobe Audition, which is $240 a year. And I've been podcasting for a long time, so I've definitely paid more than $300 for Adobe Audition. It's just something I'm thinking about. If you're doing, if you want to do a show in the NPR style, where you have music that comes in and everything is great, it's a great, especially interviews, since we're kind of talking about interviews today, I'm a big fan of Hindenburg Journalist. I love it. I use it when I do the Messengers podcast, and I used it on the Podfest Chronicles, which is another podcast I just got hired to do. And so I was trying to think, am I missing other H's? And I think that's really the only two. If you have any, let me know. But those are two things that you might hear people say, oh, just do it in Hindenburg. And you're like, the blimp? The exploding blimp? No, no, it's actually a piece of software. Don't ask me why anyone would name their company Hindenburg. But nothing else, it does kind of, you know, I remember it. Hey, I hope you are having a great holiday season. As I record this, it's December. And next week, which will be the, let me pull up my calendar here real quick. Next week will be the 18th. The week after that will be the last week of the year. So next week will be the last kind of regular show for the School of Podcasting. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about. And I right now have a Amazon Echo. And there's this little woman that lives in it named Alexa. And she's quite humorous. If I say, Alexa, tell me a holiday joke.
What do elves do after school? Their gnome work.
Yeah, all right. She'll be here all week. And I'm really into this thing. It's turning off my lights and things like that. And you're like, so Dave, you're going to talk about your Echo? No, I'm going to talk about what I've learned. And I looked at like what Amazon is doing. And like, why did they make a hockey puck that talks to me? And I'm seeing behind the scenes the real kind of insights. And so there's some things I've learned from Amazon that I really think podcasters can do that will boost their subscribers, boost their audience, things of that nature. There's a lot of lessons here because I don't know if you know this, Amazon is not the smallest company on the planet. And they seem to be growing and adding new things all the time. And I would like my podcast to be growing all the time as well. So that's one of the topics from next week. You got it because of my podcast story? I would love to hear it. Go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And if you aren't a subscriber to the show and you're like, hey, that sounds cool, I'll have to come back next week, just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/subscribe. And any way you want to subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever. It's all there. If you need some consulting, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/schedule. And I know I'm doing like the, it's like the 12 days of a million call to actions. And last but not least, if you want to start a podcast, look, now would be a great time. You could sign up today. Come January, you are launched and on your way to iTunes. Just go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/start. Sign up at the bottom. Use the coupon code LISTENER. Save on a single, you know, if you just want a course, you can do that. If you want to sign up for a monthly package, you can do that as well. Not only do you get access to the step-by-step tutorials, you get access to the private Facebook group, you get access to top of the food chain email support, you get live Q&A sessions two a month, speaking of which, one is coming up this Tuesday. So if you're listening to this on Monday, it's tomorrow night. And so if you sign up right now, you could be part of the live Q&A tomorrow. I look forward to working with you. Thank you so much. Until next week, class is dismissed. If you like what you hear, then go tell somebody. If you like what you hear. to the end, thank you so much for listening. And because of that, you get an extra tip. Check out Rite, that's R-I-T-E tag.com. The next time you're sending a tweet, it will give you suggestions for the most popular hashtags when you type in your subject. That's writetag.com. Thanks for listening all the way to the end.